The theme of our series from 1 Corinthians is the dangers that face the New Testament church. We're looking at the DNA of the New Testament church in the morning, and it's been a while since we've been in this series. And we're looking tonight at the danger that faces us all the time of not having the heart of sacrifice, having the life of sacrifice as a believer. And that's where many, many different errors are found. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We finished at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we touched on verse 1, but I'd like to just look at verse 1 for just a few moments here tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. When the great preacher J. Wilbur Chapman was in London, he had the opportunity to meet General Booth, who founded the Salvation Army. And in its early days, it was a great evangelistic ministry, and God used it mightily in London. And he was past 80 years of age, and Dr. Chapman listened reverently as the old general spoke of the trials and the conflicts and the different victories they had. And then the American evangelist asked the general if he would disclose his secret for success. He hesitated a second, Dr. Chapman said, and then he said, I saw tears come into his eyes and steal down his cheeks. And then he said, I will tell you the secret. God has had all there was of me. There have been men with greater brains than I, men with greater opportunities, but from the day I got the poor of London in my heart and a vision of what Jesus Christ could do with the poor of London, I made up my mind that God would have all of William Booth there was. And if there is anything of power in the Salvation Army today, it is because God has all the adoration of my heart, all the power of my will, and all the influence of my life. And Dr. Chapman said when he went away from the meeting, he knew the greatness of that man's power was the measure of his surrender. Well, we see that here in this very unusual verse that follows several chapters dealing with the need for the Corinthian folks there to give up their rights. He dealt with their spiritual pride. They were not understanding that they were a stumbling block in some of these different areas, and they had a superior knowledge, they thought. And he's really getting down to the core that they were not exhibiting the genuine heart of Jesus Christ. So two simple points here tonight. Number one, Paul was an imitator of Christ, obviously in this verse. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I want to remind you that this verse is Holy Spirit inspired. This is the word of the living God. So what he says here is very much what very genuine. And so he could say this, I want you to follow me because I am a follower, or the word would be maybe better translated, imitator of Christ. So Paul's life, and this is very important to understand, was Christ's life. Now one of the dangers when we talk about imitating is we can talk about doing things like having mannerisms like or thought patterns like, but we're talking about something much deeper than that. We often quote Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, I love Philippians 1:21. It was a theme verse for me during college. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, how could the Apostle Paul say, follow me even as I, as he followed Christ? Well, it's because his imitating of Christ came through the reality that he was so surrendered, as we gave that early illustration there, so surrendered to Christ that no longer was it his will, his life, but it was actually through the power of the Holy Spirit, the actual life of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, being lived through him on a regular basis. And that is why he could say that so boldly. And so therefore, Paul's life was one of servanthood. Now, folks, this is one of the most amazing things, because God is perfectly holy. I alluded to that this morning. God is perfect love. And so God is not out for himself. He genuinely loves, and that's why there's that perfect unity within the Trinity, one God. It's hard for us to even imagine that. And God loves us with a perfect love. And because of who he is and his perfection, he is the perfect servant. Philippians 2:7, that great section on having the mind of Christ and how he emptied himself of his attributes and gave of himself. It says there in verse 7 of chapter 2, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so as Paul lived out Christ's life, because he was fully surrendered to him, fully dependent upon the Spirit of the living God, this life of servanthood was what was obvious. He gave up his rights for others, as Jesus Christ gave up the rights of deity to become man so that he could take our place. An amazing thing. Clamp and Rosner say, Christ's example of putting the needs of others before his own freedom of rights, and especially of doing whatever is necessary to secure their salvation, was clearly the motivating force behind Paul's own approach to ministry, as he had described it to the Corinthians and promoted it as a model for them to follow. The giving up of his rights. Folks, we live in a culture that demands rights. Genuine Bible-believing Christians give up their rights. And that's the conclusion to all that he's been saying in the last few chapters there about giving up their rights. Don't confuse, don't be a stumbling block. Be a mature Christian and be willing to be a servant. He wanted to see God use him to meet the needs of others. Point number two. Therefore, Paul's life was to be followed. Why? Because it was Christ's life. Let me read it again. We know this verse, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. As you have seen me fully imitate and live out the life of Christ, I want you to do the same thing that I am doing. Paul was an example of Christ's life. That's a dramatic statement, folks. Do as I do. Live as I live, speak as I speak, act as I act. That's a scary thing to say. But you know, every dad ought to be able to say that. Every mom ought to be able to say that, knowing certainly we have our failures, but oh, our life ought to be so much marked by the reality of Christ that is true. Paul lived out the life of Christ consistently. And what an impact he had. 1 Corinthians 4:16, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. He says it there earlier in the chapter, or the book as we looked at it. G. Campbell Morgan once received a letter from a man who was converted under his ministry. The man spoke of coming into the church as a boy, neglected and hungry. And as he listened to the great preacher, he resolved that he too would like to become a preacher of the gospel. Not only did he become a pastor, but in the course of time, his son also went on in the ministry. In the letter, the man said, from that night, you became my great human ideal. I think I've read every book you have written. I've placed your picture on the flyleaf of my Bible, and I've never stood up to preach without first turning to look upon it. It somehow helps me more than anything else. You say, wow, should he follow man? No, he was following a man that we all know followed Christ. G. Campbell Morgan was a genuine servant of the Lord. And look at the impact that it had on that young man's life. And so Paul was that example, even as I also am of Christ. And here this was a command, an imperative. The Corinthian Christians were to imitate Paul's life. Folks, listen, when we walk here on this earth, clearly people should be following the Lord. But God has so ordained it that we as his people not only are to speak the truth of the gospel to those that are lost, but we need to speak the truth of the gospel to those who are saved and live out the reality of Christianity. The way that God's work goes forward is for there to be Christians, Christ. In other words, little Christ, people that are not living in their own power, but living the power of Christ's very own life. And so they were to imitate Paul's life. That's an amazing. They were to follow Paul's example. Philippians 3:17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have for us as an example. It's an amazing thing. So believers should have the same kind of example. Did you know that this is for every one of us? We ought to be able to say to those around us, follow me. Mark my life. Boy, you say, whoa. Well, you know, God can change us. We can live moment by moment under the power and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. It's a great challenge. Philippians 2:5, as I've already mentioned, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We can think like Christ. We can act like Christ. A young man employed by a Sunday school board told this story. He was a preacher and a leader. He was invited at the last minute to preach in a church in Nashville, and on sudden impulse, he used as his text, "Thou shalt not steal." The next morning, he stepped on the bus and handed the driver a dollar bill. The driver handed him back the change. He stood in the rear of the bus and counted the change. There was a dime too much. His first thought was, oh, the bus company will never miss a dime. Then quickly, he came to realization that he could not keep money that did not belong to him. He made his long way back up to the front and said to the driver, "You gave me too much change." What, it was a real surprise to him when the driver said, "Yes, a dime too much. I gave it to you purposefully. You see, I heard your sermon yesterday, and I watched in my mirror as you counted your chains. Had you kept the dime, I would never again have had any confidence in preaching." What a tragedy it would have been if he had done the wrong thing. Our influence does have a great impact. You know this little poem by Paul Gilbert. You are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the deeds that you do, by the words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you?